a blessing for me. First time ever, and most pastors won't give up the pulpit on Easter. So
amen.
I'm so grateful to him that he did that. I'm grateful to this church for how good you all have been to me and my family.
Amen.
Every time that we have visited over here, you all showed much love for us. And, we do appreciate it. And I hope y'all had a great Easter. And I know you had a good service this morning.
Amen.
And just pray for me because I'm a little nervous being on this day. But I love the opportunity to do this this evening.
Amen.
And of course, I got to preach on the resurrection, right, Josh? If I'm going to preach on Easter. So everybody turn their Bibles to Luke 24. Luke 24, and we'll just start in verse 1. It says in Luke 24, verse 1, it says, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus."
Amen.
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 "And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but he is risen.
Amen.
Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of the sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again."
Amen.
Let's pray. Yes. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just want to thank you, Lord, for giving me this opportunity to preach your word tonight. God, I want you to use me, Lord, as a vessel, Lord,
yes,
and I will just speak the words that you want spoken, Lord, and that you would help me, Lord, to bring out the message that we all need to hear. Lord, please look over us, Lord, and forgive us, Father, for the times that we let you down and the times that we don't prove just exactly who you are by the way we live our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, I ask you, Father, just to bless this time together and bless this church in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
What I'd like to preach on tonight is how that we need to prove our love for God by the way we live our lives.
That's right.
There's a lot of times in our lives when we fail.
Yeah,
we fail in this, and people don't see Christ in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's so powerful of a testimony that we have by our actions.
Mm-hmm.
And I preached a message one time on how action speaks louder than words.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a lot of truth to that. Our actions, people are watching us at all times.
Right.
And they're watching to see just how we're going to mess up, especially the unbeliever.
That's right.
The unbeliever quickly wants to judge the believer, does he not?
Yes.
Yeah.
He wants to have a reason why he doesn't have to come to church, but on Easter.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
So what we need to do is try to live our life each and every day, and because we can be such an influence on those kind of people.
Yes, right.
It says over in Luke 24:39, it says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bone, as ye see me have." Here we see that Jesus is proven who he is.
Mm-hmm.
If you remember the story in I knew that word earlier, but I'm not getting it now. But in Ephesus, help me, Josh. Ephesus. I think that's it.
Ephesus.
Yes. But it was a city, a village right outside of Jerusalem, and it was about 7 miles outside of the city. I know where it is. I just can't pronounce it. But and we see that as they talked together and they was walking along, they started a doubting about where Jesus was. They started doubting.
Amen.
And don't we do that in our Christian lives today?
Yeah.
Ain't there times that we do the same thing?
Mm-hmm.
And then we got to be careful that people don't see that.
Mm-hmm.
That's my message tonight, is to talk about how how powerful that it is,
yeah.
that we can just walk with God and people should see us
right.
every day.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, in Luke 19:22 and in Luke 17:25 and 18:32-33, God had told them what was going to happen before this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So they already knew the plan, but they had forgot about it, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
And I got to getting convicted over this when I started judging these people sometimes when I read it, and I think, well, how could they do that?
Right.
But but I am as guilty as they are.
Right.
You're right.
There's times in my Christian life to where I just act as if God, I don't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't use Him the way that I should.
Right.
I think that I can do it on my own.
Yeah.
But there's so many times that I have found out that I was so wrong. And we need to prove that He is alive today and be a witness
right.
in the way that we live.
Amen.
When I met my wife, I was 26 years old, and I'll share a little bit of my testimony. I was not living a good life when I met her, and when I met her, she had helped me. She had changed me. She had showed me how to live. And I started to change, and I started to do things differently. You know, when I met her, I used to drink real bad and run around, do things I wasn't supposed to. And she told me, she said, if you're going to be with me, you're going to have to give that kind of life up. Well,
Amen.
God put her in my life and helped me.
Amen.
And I lived for years like that, just getting better and better. And I started getting where I could go places, be around people, and do things that I'd never done before. But I knew there was something missing.
Mm. Yes.
So one day Susan came home, and that's my wife, and she said, she said, Rick, we need to start going, I think, down here to this church down the street. She said, I've been pulling in there, and I've been praying in the evenings, and I just feel a desire that we need to go there.
Amen.
And I said, well, I'll go with you. You know, I need to be going myself. So I went as a small child, but hadn't been in many, 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 many years.
Mm-hmm.
So we started going down there, and when we started doing that, and we started visiting each time the doors was open. We became pretty regular. But and the man that I worked with that I'll never ever forget is Ralph Cannon, and I go to church with him today. But he had asked me a question. He said, Rick, are you a Christian? That don't seem like much, does it?
Yeah.
That's all he said.
Yeah.
And I could not get those words out of my heart.
Mm. Yeah.
It pierced my heart, and I could not get away from it at all. He said, if I would have thought anybody was a Christian, I thought it would have been you.
Hmm.
Well, those words, but I'll tell you why those words were so powerful. It was because of the way that Ralph lived his life.
Amen.
Amen.
Ralph lived a very clean life, and it's hard to do that in a workplace sometimes.
Yes. Amen.
But he was a deacon at Hostess Baptist Church, and he lived every day like a Christian
Amen.
In front of me.
Amen.
So when he asked me those words, they were so powerful because of his testimony of how he lived. And I would see it where the guys would be telling jokes and, you know, doing things that guys do. And here come Ralph, and they would quit.
Yes.
They'd hush.
Amen.
They'd say, shh, come to Ralph.
Hmm.
I thought, man, I would love to have that kind of respect. I'd love to have that kind of life to where they wouldn't talk that way around me.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he didn't earn that. By living bad. He learned that by living the right. And he lived it every single day. So when I saw this, I had a desire to do it. Well, we had revival right after that over at Dutch Valley. And Craig Edwards, I don't know if anybody knows Craig Edwards, but he brought a message that I couldn't get away from. And I rejected Christ all week at that revival. But on Thursday night, I got down in my living room and I gave my life to Christ about 1 o'clock in the morning.
Amen.
And I have not been the same since.
Amen.
And, you know, Lord has really blessed me and my family. And when me and Susan, when I got saved and then we got married, and then here come Emily and here come Matthew, and then everything, God started putting everything
Amen.
Together
Amen.
And blessing us with a wonderful life. But it was all because of Ralph living
yes,
a clean life. That's what started
That's
it off.
Amen.
You know, Susan took me as far as I could go. And I was a good man going to hell.
Right,
there's a lot of good men going to be in hell.
Right,
and that's so sad that to think that men are in this world. I had an uncle that was that way.
Hmm.
And he lived a very, very clean life. But he never accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior.
Hmm.
And he never did do that. And as far as we know, you know, we don't know his heart, but as far as everyone knew, he had never done that. But then right after that, a few years went by, and then I started to, I felt the call to be a deacon, so I was a deacon for a few years. And then Ralph, here come Ralph again. He came up to me and said, "You sure you ain't been called to preach?" And I said, "Well, no. What makes you think that?" He said, "Well, you always talk about this would be a good sermon, or this would be the name of a good message." And he said, "That's something you might want to pray about." So I started praying about that with him. And before you know it, I felt the calling of God for, you know, on me to preach. And when he asked me, I said, "God," I said, "you know, I can't read good. I can't speak good. I don't speak good in front of crowds." And I said, "You know, how you do, throwing all them excuses out there." And I remember what he told Joshua. And he said, "I'll put the words in your mind.
Yes.
Amen.
It's okay."
Amen.
You know, and when I read that, I knew I was going to be okay. Amen. So, you know, I'm glad, you know, that God is with me every single day and helping me. But I want to just take just a few minutes and talk about our actions and how strong that our actions are. You know, there's sometimes that I let God down, you know.
Yeah.
And my wife, watch out, Matthew, she'll have to start shouting. But I'll start saying, I'll say things sometimes that I shouldn't, you know, and I do things sometimes that I shouldn't. You know, they're not major things, but they're things that aggravates her and makes her, gets her a little upset, and you know, you always hear that you don't have a happy life until you have a happy wife. Well, that's not how I live my life, you know. I mean, if you got to make God happy first, and then you can make your wife happy. So when I learned how to do that, then God helped me, you know, more. But I want to take just a few minutes and talk about on Palm Sunday when this story really got me when I was reading about it. I actually taught it last weekend at the D-Now that we had for the young people up at Holston Baptist. And you know the story about Palm Sunday when Jesus came into Jerusalem and he entered in on the donkey and he came in peace. And he came and you know, and they had a big parade and all the Jewish people was there because Passover was going on at this time. But here's the thing. Jesus, even though that he had drawn a crowd wherever he went, you know that there was a big crowd there that day. Because everywhere he went, the people would follow him because they wanted healing and they wanted to, you know, hear his messages that he had, and they followed him. But he says, "So why was everyone coming to praise him, though? Why was they coming to praise him?" And I got to looking at that, you know, and they says that they was coming for themselves and not him. And see, Jesus wept during this time.
Yes,
he only wept twice in the Bible. If you remember, it was when Lazarus died, and it was when this happened, when he was coming in Jerusalem. He wept because he knew that people would deny him and betray him. He knew during this week up to his crucifixion that his disciples was going to turn on him.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And don't we live that way sometimes?
Yes.
Don't we deny him sometimes, by the way that we live? Ain't there a time in our lives when we betray and we betray God?
Right.
You know, and that should not be, you know. His disciples, they feared danger during this week. They knew something was fixing to happen. So they got out of there, you know. And I got to thinking, do we make him weak today?
Mm.
Is there things that we do in our lives that brings tears to his eyes? Think about that.
That's right.
Does our nation bring tears to his eyes? I think that does.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he weeps today. I think he's in heaven crying over our nation as we speak. We're so far away from God.
That's right.
It blows me away every day to turn the news on and see them praising everything but God.
Yep.
You know? Their focus is on everything but the Lord.
That's right.
And they try to come up with this and they come up with that and they want to change all these gun laws and you name it. They're trying to change it to make our nation better, but they're not realizing all they have to do is turn back to the Lord.
Amen.
He says, "If you'll turn from your wicked ways and follow me, I'll heal your land."
Yeah.
That's all we have to do.
Yeah.
So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. I was thinking about how strong the gospel is. Josh said just a while ago, he said, we preached the gospel this morning. And how powerful that the gospel still is.
Yeah.
But a lot of times preachers are not preaching the gospel today, are they?
Right.
A lot of times you don't get the gospel when you come to churches. And you know, and I was thinking about Billy Graham, the late great Billy Graham. How many times have you seen his crusades where he stood behind the pulpit and he didn't dance around? He didn't do anything fancy, did he?
No.
You know, he didn't tell a lot of jokes. And, you know, it was just the gospel. He brought the gospel every time the man came behind the pulpit. And thousands upon thousands upon thousands of people got saved at all his crusades all over the world. And I thought, that's what it's all about.
That's right.
It's bringing the gospel, the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So I would just like to encourage us and encourage us to live the way that we should, to live the way that God has called us to do, and to remember that people are looking out and they are looking at us, and we are an influence. I've told my children ever since they was real little, I said, you are an example, good or bad.
Amen.
You're an example for someone. You know, little kids, they look up to big kids.
Yeah.
You know, teenagers look up to adults.
Yeah.
Adults look up to grandparents. You know, we look up to her. You know, there's always somebody to look up to.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so it's so important to know that you've got people looking at you and watching you. And you need to be a good influence on them.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you all tonight. And God bless you. I'm going to have Josh come and close.
Amen.
And I thank you all for the opportunity of being here tonight.
Amen. Good job. Good job.